Many Christians are familiar with the acronym TULIP, TULIP, as shorthand for Reformed or Calvinistic theology. And controversial and misunderstood of all the so-called five points of Calvinism is found in the limited atonement. When used to explain the work of Jesus on the cross, many believe how downgrading or limiting what the Lord accomplished at Calvary.
That's one of the reasons Arminian friends that both views in some sense limit the atonement. We limit its intent. They limit its power.
The Calvinists believe that the atoning work of Christ was limited only to the elect. The cross purchased and guaranteed everything the elect sinner needs to be justified, including regeneration or the new birth and repentance unto salvation. The Arminians, on the other hand, believe that Jesus' work on the cross was designed to purchase a specific people for himself, nor was it to secure salvation for any particular sinner. The intention was to simply make salvation possible for any person who would, of his or her own free will, repent and believe.
You know, we would expect that the idea of God choosing would be offensive to the rebellious human soul, but even more so in our culture, where free will and I'll have it my way is at an almost an idolatrous idea of God's sovereign choice in this generation.
Dr. Lorraine Botner, author of the book Predestination, explains that the Arminian view of the atonement can be compared to a wagon's most of the way across a river. In order to reach the other side, the sinner took the last and final step. The Calvinist, on the other hand, believed that the bridge, wallow, did in fact extend all the way to the other shore. The sinner does not and can't take any steps. Regeneration is the rapture, if you will, of the sinner from one to the work of Christ alone.
The Synod of Dort asserted that the fundamental flaw of their defective view of the fall of man into sin.
John Owen, in his classic Death of Death in the Death of Christ, observed that the merit or atonement of Christ was to the Arminian an ointment in a box, set out in the gospel to the view of all, and those who will, by their own strength, lay hold on it and apply it to themselves would. Of course, if man were simply wounded by the fall, this position would be reasonable. As we saw earlier, man is not merely wounded, he's dead. And medicine, to an adage goes, is the supreme example of a day late and a dollar short. Much more than medicine to resurrect his dead spirit. He needs the Holy Spirit to bring him back to life.
This next point can get a little confusing, but try and pay close attention as we distinguish between historic and modern Arminianism. If the historical Arminian position as presented by the Remonstrants, consider this quote by Dr. J. Kenneth Gruff, theology at the Nazarene Theological Seminary, a school that is self-consciously Arminian.
Many Arminians whose theology is not very precise say that Christ paid the price. Yet such a view is foreign to Arminianism, which teaches instead that Christ suffered. Christ did, he did for every person. Therefore, what he did could not have been to penalty, since no one would then ever go into eternal punishment. Dr. Greider is rightfully scolding his fellow Arminians for being inconsistent in their understanding of the summary. Dr. Greider says, number one, most modern Arminians do not know the historic Arminianism as represented by the Remonstrants. Number two, historic Arminianism believes that what Jesus did, he did for everyone equally. And number three, historic Arminianism as expressed in the Remonstrants does not teach that Christ died for anyone's sins. He only suffered for them.
Concerning the first point, most Arminians today don't understand historical Arminianism very well, and this does create some confusion what the term means. As for the second point, does the Bible teach that what Jesus did, he did equally for everyone?
Arminians use as their proof text include the words all, whole, and world in relation to God's intention of salvation, interpreting it to mean every single person. But does all mean all the time?
The Bible uses these universal terms, but many people don't understand it's not merely the biblical use of terms like this. All language, in all of English language, it is constantly done that people use universal terms when they don't mean a universal fact that they're talking about. I mean, we all say that all the time. We say all when we don't mean all. Paul says, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. No, it didn't. But that is figurative language, or you would have to say the Bible is in error. How much were the people in the Yucatan Peninsula taxed? How about the Chinese? How much taxes do they pay to Caesar? A decree go out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed? In actuality, it went out that all of the Roman world should be taxed.
Another example can be found in Luke 2:10. We read that the angel who announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds declared, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which to all people." Should the word all be understood to mean every single person? If you believe the former, then we must ask if the birth of Christ brought good tidings of great joy to the Pharisees. How about to Herod or Pontius Pilate? Did they find great joy in the birth of the Messiah? And what about Colossians 1, 5, and 6? Paul said that by 54 AD, the truth of the gospel had gone out into all the world. Did Paul literally mean that the gospel had been carried to the Americas or Australia? Of course not. Geography wasn't what he was speaking about. And the same is true for John 12:19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world..."
We all say all the time when we don't mean it. No, we don't. Some people never say all. They speak Chinese. You don't say all the time, either when you mean it or when you don't mean it. There's some time that you sleep. There's some time that you eat. There's some time when you say other things. You really don't say all of the time. So therefore, these people don't understand the figurative use of language, and there are over all species of figures of speech found in the Bible. And they're found in most, or even a big newspaper, you'll find them. They're everywhere. No, they're not. They're here and there and the other place. We see we do that all the time, and we don't even realize we're doing it. No, we don't do it all the time. You see, if I called you every time you use a universal word, I would be having to stop you all of the time.